the words which I trust the Lord will enable me to make a few remarks, will be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, the last four words in verse 26. A coffin in Egypt. The book of Genesis, chapter 50, and we'll read the whole verse, 26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. This book of Genesis is a wonderful book. It is that which man would dispute, which man would despise. And yet, I believe it is a book which the Lord's people love. It is a book which encourages them as they're able by faith, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to see the beginning of creation. The wonderful plan of creation. God's mercy with regard to salvation. And how it begins with the creation and ends with a coffin in Egypt. And how like our experience, as we are created, so we must all come to the end. Ah, you say yes, but all we hear is death. I wish we could hear more of it. I wish it would come home more to us. Because death is a reality. We must all needs die. And we shall be as that water spilt upon the ground which cannot be gathered. Well, now you see the life of Joseph was a very trying life, and there seemed to be so much death in it. This was not the first time that Joseph was coffined. You remember how he went out to his brethren and how they despised him, how they sold him, how they put him in the pit, and there he was coffined in that pit, as good as dead. And then he was brought out of that pit, sold to the Midianites, taken down into Egypt. And although he received much favor, it wasn't very long before he was coffined again in that prison, shut away from everything. And there he was alone. It seemed as if he was forgotten. And now he is eventually brought down to the end of time. And they embalmed him and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. What a state to be in for a child of God, to be in a coffin and above all in Egypt. Yet this, for the most part, is the feeling and the lot of the Lord's dear people. I think we mentioned in prayer there's death and curse in every stream but in the well of Bethlehem. And if you haven't got a coffin in Egypt, my friend, there's not much hope of any life within your soul. How the Lord brings his people, and how poor old Israel, as he was brought into that place, that is Joseph, was dead, this coffin in Egypt. All the sorrows of the way. Never again did he think he sees Joseph. And how often the Lord's people are brought into these places. We set our minds upon something. We have our little Joseph. We make him a coat of many colours. All our schemes and all our plans, they all seem to go into this little coat of many colours. And as we place it upon him, and there our pride, we're so forgetful, aren't we, of this wonderful God. And as we place this wonderful coat upon him, our mind is so taken up with the things of time and all our plans and all our schemes. We lose sight of this fading world. We lose sight of death and destruction which must come upon this earth. But there has to be a coffin in Egypt. It's not long before that wonderful jacket is brought back, that coat of many colours, and it's set before us. But no Joseph in it. It's a reminder of what has been, and also a reminder of what is to come. Oh, how our schemes, our worthless schemes, as the hymn writer calls them, and how we seem to mix them with God. But how good it is when the Lord brings us a coffin in Egypt. Well, now, my young people at home, we give them a question most Sundays, as we've got no Sabbath school, and we ask them to give us the number of years or the longest funeral that took place. And you'll find that this, from the time Joseph died to the time he was buried, was many hundreds of years. And as the children of Israel journeyed, we often think of them with the cloud and the pillar of smoke and the fire, the ark. But how we lose sight of this coffin in Egypt, which they took with them. Wherever they went, they had the ark, they had the cloud, they had the flame to lead them and guide them and direct them, but also there was this coffin. And it went before them, not for 40 years, but it went before them until they came to Canaan, the promised land, until that was buried according to the will of Joseph in Canaan. It was a reminder of them of the certainty of God's promise being fulfilled, but always before them they had this reminder of death. So it's not wrong for us to bring before you the reminder of death. There are those today, they have the ark, they had the light, they had the cloud leading, guiding and directing, but they never had the coffin and the bones before them. You never hear them crying out of a sense of need, "Breathe on these bones so dry and dead, thy sweetest, softest influence shed." But have you got this coffin in Egypt in your experience? Is it going before you all the time? Wherever you lay your hand upon anything, it seems as if there's death. It seems as if there's vanity and nothingness in it. How the Lord teaches his people, weans them from the world, shows them the emptiness of it. Until they're brought to that place, it's easy to say, but when one is brought to realize what it is, the dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. You see our idols in a coffin in Egypt. I never shall forget going to preach at a place when one of our friends, who at that time was not a member with us, but how she was brought into deep soul trouble under an operation. Complications set in. And how we felt we'd failed to set before her the truth as we should have done. And as we went off to preach, that we spoke from that word, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And how that seemed to come home to us, and it seemed as if that dear woman was already coffined. Seemed as if the Lord had taken her and we were responsible for her soul. And how the Lord does come and he takes, as it were, those who we set too much upon. How we may set this one up as a deacon. And how we can see the Lord working within his heart. And how our plans, our little jacket, you see, of many colours, is being made. And we seem to think that the Lord's going to do this and the Lord's going to do the other. But it has to be coffined. It has to be brought and buried, as it were, sometimes, right out of sight. But oh, to be made willing. I say, oh, to be made willing for these things. Well, now you see Joseph. He meant so much to the children of Israel, didn't he? What a wonderful spirit he had. But look at the fears, look at the doubts that they had, and rightly so because of their sin. Now, there was a time, you see, when they would have been glad to have seen him in this coffin, to have seen that he was rid, that they were rid of him. And especially in this time of fear, as they spoke unto him with regard to the forgiveness that they desired. There was that time when they would have seen him buried. When he was sold to the Midianites, they didn't care about him then. But how good he was. And how Joseph is a type of Christ. The goodness, the mercy, the loving kindness, the way in which he wept. And one would have thought, well, now this would have been a great trial to the children of Israel. But they were careless. They were responsible for his sufferings. They were careless. You and I are responsible, if we are the people of God, for the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. It's an awful thing, a solemn thing, if we are not responsible in some measure for his sufferings. If he never suffered for your sins, well then, you're in a most solemn place. But how sometimes it seems as if our very hope has all gone. We look back and we may say, yes, we now look the way we treated him. We sold him. We placed him in the pit. And now, you see, we stand trembling before him. We're in time of need now. And how this man, you see, we go to him in our times of need and how good he is to us. And then when he reveals himself to us as Joseph, that one who we have cast aside, that one who we've sinned against. How strange is the gospel. How blessed is the word of God. When we're given that grace to see and understand the word of God and the glorious plan of redemption. But better still, when we feel our interest in it. A coffin in Egypt. And so you'll be brought, if you're a child of God, face to face with that heavenly Joseph. You'll have to stand before him in all your need, your life depending upon him. And there will be those times when the Lord himself, don't ever forget this, that Joseph, he went away, couldn't refrain himself, he went away from his brethren, he wept. Perhaps sometimes Satan will tempt you and he'll say, the Lord's taking no notice of your petitions. With all your sorrows, with all your need, with all your prayers, the Lord isn't answering, the Lord's not listening to your prayers. Who knows, the Lord may be weeping. You know, he wept for Lazarus. He wept for his people of old. And although he's triumphant, although he's conquered death and hell, that human heart he still retains, enthroned in highest bliss. He feels each tempted member's pains, for their afflictions his. Don't you think for a moment that this God is careless and unconcerned with regard to your afflictions and your trials, your temptations? But sometimes he seems to be coughing in Egypt, in this wilderness, in this place where there is this powerful Pharaoh who will not let you go. But there it is. There is the coffin before you. There's death before you. You know, there are those people, they never have any death in their religion. There's life in everything. Always able to speak of the goodness and the mercy of God. And it's right and it's proper that we should. But this I do know, we're not always, if we are the people of God, we're not always feelingly in this frame of mind. And then to be brought to know something of the wonders of this God, as he has made these wonderful provisions for us. And then as he has spoken to us with regard to those things which are past. You remember how Joseph spoke to his brethren regarding the father and his brethren, how he inquired after them. It is good when the Lord reminds us of those things which have passed. Don't let us be unmindful of the way in which the Lord has led us. Don't let us be unmindful of those things which the Lord has done. To have these constantly before us. All that deep affliction, that family trial, that business trial, that church trouble, when it seemed that there was death upon it all, when the devil told you that it was no good, you might just as well give it all up and finish with it, that there was no life within your soul, that there was no life in the church today. Have you ever had Satan come before you, and as he's gone through the chapel, he's pointed this one out to you and the other one, all their failings, all their frailties? Satan will never bring to your notice those blessings which the Lord's people have received, but he'll always show you their failings. You know, when we're brought to see the failings of the Lord's dear people, we ought to watch, because surely Satan is very near to us. But how good it is when the Lord comes and he shows us some good in his people. When we're able to overlook all their faults, when all their failings and all their bodily trials and so on and so forth, and those things which worry us, when they're all coffined, and all we can see is what that person was in the sight of God and what they were in our eyes and in our opinion. This I do know, that where there is this union brought about by the Holy Spirit, even death will not separate it. The coffin in Egypt. What a favour it is to have known some of these dear old saints of old. Some we read of in the Word of God that are before us. And although they are dead and gone, yet we have, as it were, before us the same as the children of Israel, this record of their life constantly before us as we journey on. There is this coffin in Egypt where we can see how the Lord led them, how the Lord favored them, how they were brought into the fiery furnace, how they were fearless of men, how they stood for the truth and those things which the Lord had revealed to them, how their prayers were answered, how they patiently waited upon the Lord, and how they came to the end of the journey with that same God who had led them and brought them through the wilderness down to the end. And now all that we have is that coffin in Egypt, their spirit. That which we felt a union to is no longer there. But the spirit has gone to God who gave it. We had two words upon our mind as we came before you this evening. This is most unusual. We hardly knew which one to speak from. But how that word in Ecclesiastes has been on our mind, or ever the silver cord be loosed or the golden bowl be broken, which of course is very similar to this text. But how that silver cord which unites the brain with all the members of the body, the spinal cord, how there can be no movement heavenward, how there can be no movement one member to another without that silver cord which is so pure, how there can be no uprightness without it. But all this must come to an end. Even that which unites the Lord's dear people whilst here upon earth, the spirit of course will not come to an end. But as we see them and as we know them now and as we have seen them, so they will be coffined. But have you got a coffin in Egypt? Is there one buried in this land whose dust is so precious to you? One who you have journeyed with? One who you've been able to speak to with regard to the things of God? And now beyond all doubt, you know that they are in heaven. You may have doubts with regard to yourself, but as you look back upon those precious hours that you spent one with each other, as you were able to commune one with each other, and now it seems as if you're one on your own. Those who you were able to commune with have all gone. There are not those now that you're able to go to and speak to and find that same spirit and that unity, not the same desires that you have. Or how this world is coming and the church of God is coming to that time where it is ripening for destruction and where the Lord will come and bring his people home. But a coffin in Egypt. This describes, surely, the feelings, for the most part, of a child of God. Do you find any life in Egypt? I say, can you feel any life in Egypt? Are you able to mix with the world? Are you able to meet and go with the Egyptians? Are you able to enjoy the things which they enjoy, or are you one who suffers under the bondage of the Egyptians and you feel this death upon everything? But occasionally there is that spirit that works within your heart, and although you can see death within your members, although you feel your flesh to be death, sometimes you have to sing death's within thee, all about thee, but the remedy's without thee. See it in the Saviour's blood. Now so often then we look upon this coffin in Egypt and we say, well, now that's the finish. But is it? What does the word of God say? It says, I am the resurrection and the life. A coffin in Egypt will not prevent the purposes of God being fulfilled. The fact that Joseph was in this coffin would not stop the children of Israel being brought out of Egypt and being delivered. Why, this was a token, this was an evidence, this was a proof that as they had it before them, the Lord was working. If the Lord has stamped death upon your religion, that's a proof, that's an evidence that the Lord is working. If there's death stamped upon your strength, death stamped upon your plans, this is an evidence that the Lord is working. How the Lord brings an exercise into the hearts of his dear people. How he exercises them. How he convinces them. And how they are led by the Holy Spirit as they hear that voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Perhaps there's one here tonight. You hear this voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And yet it seems to be coughing. You're unable to do anything about it. And to hear this voice continually speaking. But as soon as the Lord comes, and as he says, Lazarus, come forth. Coffins, graves, sepulchres, stones. It matters not what the barrier may be. That soul will come forth. Nothing will bar it. And so you see, as Joseph made his brethren take this oath and say, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. This was a prophecy, and the prophecy was fulfilled. And how the Lord did visit them, how they were brought into that solemn place, and how there was death even then. Have you thought of the coffins in Egypt? That night when the Lord came, the angel of the Lord came, but he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. It was quite evident that the houses of the children of Israel and the houses of the Egyptians were alike. There was only one distinction, and that was the blood. Otherwise, in every other way, they were alike. It's quite obvious. And as the Lord says, when I see the blood, that will be the mark. That will be the evidence. Now here we are all by nature. In this coffin in Egypt, apart from that precious blood of the Lord Jesus. But as the angel of the Lord came, and as the firstborn were smitten, those coffins in Egypt, the coffins of the wrath of God. Solemn thing, isn't it? Or when you come to the end of the journey, which coffin would you rather be in? Joseph's coffin? Or the Egyptians' coffin? And so you see, even poor Joseph, as he was brought into Egypt, there was his bones. There was this coffin. But the promise must be fulfilled. And as this promise was fulfilled, so this went before them. And the trials that they met with, how Pharaoh pursued them and how he will pursue them. And as they came into that wilderness with the mountains around them, the enemy before them, the enemy behind them, and the sea before them, there was this evidence, there was this mark. There was still the coffin coming out of Egypt. Now there was this coming out. All according to the purpose and the will of God. Now this is a blessed thought. When all our coffins come out of Egypt, all those things which seem to be death, those things which seem to be so impossible, and yet the purposes of God are being fulfilled. as we're able to come out. Ah, but where does it bring us into? A happy place indeed not, into the wilderness. And here we travel year after year with these bones before us. And all we can see, at times we lose sight of the ark. We lose sight of the fiery cloud, the pillar of smoke. We lose sight of the directing hand of God. But how we can see this coffin in Egypt? Do you find that in your pathway there's more death than life? I do. And yet how this God is a wonderful God, how he leads his people, how he goes before them, and how he has promised them that these bones will eventually be brought in his time and in his way to Shechem. There they will be buried. Now the Lord makes you a promise. And if the Lord has a promise towards his people, that promise must and shall be fulfilled. Nothing can bar it. Nothing can hinder it. Pharaoh can do his worst. Unbelief may come. Your fears, your doubts. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, bids you undismayed go on. Is there some poor soul here tonight? The only little bit of religion you've got is a coffin in Egypt. All your hopes seem to be coffined. He who has helped you hitherto, it all seems dead. Have you ever thought of those two on the Emmaus Road with regard to this subject? Look what they went through. If ever any had a coffin in Egypt, they did. Where the Lord Jesus was taken from them, he in whom they trusted. But how he came to them, how he revealed himself again to them. And then, just one last thought with regard to this. Soon you and I, if the Lord tarry, will be in a coffin in Egypt. But what about our spirit? Will the spirit go unto God that gave it? Yes, it will. Your spirit, doesn't matter who you are, will go unto God who gave it. And it will go unto him for judgment. He will be the judge, the last great judge. When your sinful flesh has been laid in this coffin in Egypt, what hope of you have a glorious resurrection? You know, sometimes as we lay those in the grave, we have no cause whatever to hope for a glorious resurrection, no evidence. It is good when we have an evidence, but whatever we may say, whatever we may think with regard to others, what about ourselves? Does it ever concern you as to what this coffin in Egypt will be to you? We know not, do we, what a day may bring forth. It may be said soon of you, that one is in a coffin in Egypt. But, or if we can come with that which we've just sung, where the Lord will raise our dust in that glorious day, when he sees the blood, even the blood upon that coat of many colours, with all our worthless schemes, with all our plans, to see the blood on that, to see the blood even upon the coffin, upon all that we possess, we shall need this blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You and I may live to be 110. It matters not how long we live, but what will happen when we die. And then to realize that all our death and all that which has hindered us and kept us so long from the presence of our Lord, that we shall eventually look forward under the influence of the Holy Spirit to that time when we shall burst these chains with sweet surprise and in our Saviour's image rise, free from sin, free from death, free from this body of sin and death. But our poor remains will be in a coffin in Egypt. There's no need for us to fear if we are the people of God. But if we are not, how solemn. Oh, may the Lord then grant unto us light upon his word. And may we be able to bury all our self-righteousness. Yes, in this coffin in Egypt, there will be all our filthy rags, all our unrighteousnesses, all buried. And then to be forever with the Lord, never again to put on this body of sin and death. But while we journey here, that will always be before us. We shall always have this reminder. And we shall have to say so often with Paul of old, when he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, ever dying. But may the Lord then grant unto us the reality of his grace. And as one said, O wash us in that precious blood and take our sins away. We must leave it. May the Lord add his blessing